prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
It's like a battlefield.
There's a battle for the soul of America.
We can't let him tear the kingdom down.
This is no game. This is war.
Flesh and blood. It's between the bad and good. We can't stop until the trumpet sounds. This is war. Not a game we're playing. This is a war.
The only question is, which side will you be on? It's time now for a call to decision with Pastor Butch Paul.
Satan's army's come to kill. This is war.
Hey, everybody. I know you were expecting to hear Pastor Butch Paul. He's a little bit under the weather. He'll be okay. I'm definitely here subbing for him tonight. I know most likely tomorrow night, and there's a good chance I'm going to be subbing for him on Wednesday as well, but we'll be playing that by ear as we go, but I'm sure I'll be here. I know I'm here tonight, and we'll be here probably tomorrow as well. I have a great guest lined up for tomorrow, but before we get to that, you are listening to Call to Decision. As I said, I'm not Pastor Butch. I'm Kevin Gallagher, and I'm here in Connecticut, so don't tell Butch that a Connecticut Yankee is hosting this program. And if you don't tell, I won't tell. But hey, in all seriousness, I've been hosting a television show for about 24 years here in Connecticut, known as Time Out with Kevin Gallagher. I'm also the owner and founder of the Truth Be Told Radio Network. And the Truth Be Told Radio Network carries a lot of the shows that are also carried here on Global Star Radio. And Todd, thank you. It's great. Just very quickly about Truth Be Told, we are heard at our website, truthbetoldnetwork.org. We have an Android app that you can download and for free in the App Store for Android. We are carried on MyTuner, that software there. You can load on just about anything and listen to about 50,000 different radio stations. Any Wi-Fi radio in the world, you can listen to the radio network on. Just go to the Internet-only broadcast section. Go down to the T's. There we are. TuneIn Radio, we get carried here. I know GS Radio gets carried on TuneIn. That's a great way that you can hook into your favorite radio stations. And then we aggressively will broadcast over the big three smart speakers. That includes the Amazon, the Google, and the Apple smart speaker. All you got to do is invoke their wake word and just say, play Truth Be Told Radio Network, and you're listening. It works in about 80 different countries on about 3.5 billion devices, including your Android and iPhone. And we also have a call to listen number, so if you have unlimited long distance and you want to turn your phone into a radio, it's a great way to do it. And folks, that's the wrap up with that. We're going to get to our guest. We have Dr. Jane Orient, and she is the executive director of the Association of American Physicians and Surgeons and president of the Doctors for Disaster Preparedness. And Dr. Jane, I wanted to say hello. Nice meeting you tonight. And what else would you like to add about your background, what have you? And let's go from there.
I am a general internal medicine doctor. That's general adult medicine. I've been in a solo private practice since about 1981. And recently, I have become particularly distressed at how the medical profession has changed and how we, the most physicians, are really declining to treat patients with early COVID-19. I've never experienced anything like this, that doctors are turning away patients. They are denying them early treatment despite a lot of evidence that that shows early treatment is life-saving. It keeps people out of the hospital. But everybody these days is going by drop-down menus and their electronic health records and going only by what the National Institutes of Health and the CDC and the World Health Organization say. And these federal agencies have been called therapeutic nihilists. They really recommend no treatment early at the time when it's most likely to make a difference.
Why is that?
Well, that's a question that everybody should be asking. Why are they not interested in saving the maximum number of lives? Instead, they're saying, well, this might not help. We don't have adequate evidence. We don't have the gold standard of randomized controlled trials. Well, we do have some, and some of them have been very flawed and have gotten negative results. Others have gotten positive results. But nevertheless, they say the evidence is not enough. Not enough. We'll just let people die. Well, they don't say that, of course, until we have better evidence. And then they thwart efforts to obtain the evidence.
That's kind of counterproductive, to put it kind of mildly. We have, you know, a huge problem worldwide that we see with this. We see the lockdowns. We see everything. Do you feel that, you know, besides what you just talked about, that they, you know, could have done a lot of other things better? Because I know when I look at this problem, in my mind, I think there's a whole bunch that could have been done better. But then again, I'm not a doctor. So, I mean, I look at this as a regular guy and just kind of wonder what's going on.
The lockdowns and the masking and all of that have never been tried on this scale before. And worldwide, they are causing devastating harm and not doing any good. The pandemic goes its merry way, regardless of whether there are strict lockdowns, mild lockdowns, no lockdowns. We've gotten through every viral epidemic in the past without them. I mean, people do exercise good judgment about staying away from crowds and staying away from sick people, but none of this totally destructive havoc, especially on small business, destroying the middle class in America and in other parts of the world, and people literally are going to starve to death.
Yeah, I don't understand it myself in a lot of ways, but I mean, I look at this and I look at some of the CDC's own numbers, and I look at a very low kill rate when you look at pure COVID. When you're looking at less than 1% of all people that get it die. So in my mind, number one, if you have a disease that's killing less than 1% of the people that get it, younger people, you don't really have to worry too much. People who are really, you know, healthy, they're not going to have to worry too much about it. I know you're dealing with, from what I've read, and please correct me if I'm wrong, people that have compromised immune systems, lung problems, etc. These are the people that you don't want to have around this. And if I've never seen healthy people being quarantined. I mean, you even go into the Bible and you look at something like leprosy. They put the lepers way out away from everybody, and then people lived their lives, and the lepers were over there, and the disease wouldn't spread. But apparently now we have to lock down the whole world. In my mind, if you have a disease that's only killing less than 1% of everybody who gets it, why don't you just let it run its course? We would have probably, I think, been done with this in a month or so, and maybe we wouldn't have even the number of deaths that we have. Am I being extreme here, or do I not understand this, or am I on the right track?
Oh, I think you're on the right track. The death rate is really much less than 1 in 100. Maybe it's 1 in 1,000, maybe even less than that, and it depends a lot on the risk group. It's more than half of the casualties or the people who have died have been in nursing homes, and that's less than 1% of the population. And if we really wanted for people to get immune to this, we would let it spread among the healthy people. They would get a mild illness or maybe no illness at all. They would become immune, then they wouldn't be able to spread it anymore.
Right.
True, their immunity may be short-lived, but we might have really wiped out the major part of the disease very quickly. Anyway, we may not be in a pandemic even now if you consider the all-cause mortality rate is back down to mostly normal in most of the world. And that's the only statistic I think that's really reliable, because there are so many distortions in the statistics. So many things attributed to COVID-19, even if the person also had a gunshot wound or a motorcycle crash the same time, just because of the financial incentives that are involved. But if we looked at the all-cause mortality rate, the pandemic is virtually over in most of the world.
So then what's the agenda? Why continue the lockdowns? Why continue something? I mean, maybe I sound kind of naive here, but why continue all this if it's basically over? I mean, I have an answer, but I want to hear yours.
Well, it's not over in the sense that people are still dying of COVID-19, but the pandemic phase really is over. The lockdowns are not doing demonstrably any good, and if we wanted evidence-based medicine, we would demand some evidence for using that. What we really needed to do from the beginning, and we need to do now, is early treatment of high-risk people, or maybe of everybody, in order to keep the disease from progressing to the stage where people are dying of the cytokine storm and the blood clots and so on.
Right, right. It's amazing because when you look at, like you say, you look at the governor of New York, Cuomo, he actually took a lot of these people and put them in the nursing homes. To me, that's crazy.
Yes, he did, and of course he's trying to deny that he did that, but the death rate in downstate New York as a percentage of population is about the worst in the world. And if we left that out of the U.S. statistics, the U.S. would be doing about the same as Western Europe, and so people could stop criticizing us for being even worse than Europe. But we are much worse than places like India, where it's maybe one-tenth as high as ours. One thing they do in India is they treat people early with long-established drugs like hydroxychloroquine.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, people are not getting the early treatment here. You just said the name of that one thing that I can never actually pronounce all that well. But what makes the hydroxychloroquine, I hope I said that right, so effective against this illness?
There's several mechanisms of action. It has a direct antiviral killing effect that you can demonstrate in the laboratory. It also helps zinc get into the cells. Zinc is present, in the blood, but it has a little difficulty getting through the cell membrane. Hydroxychloroquine helps it get in there, and zinc changes the milieu in the cell to make it very difficult for viruses to replicate. Mm-hmm. So it also probably tones down the inflammatory response, so that people are not damaged by their own immune system.
Right. Right.
There's more than 200 studies that are now published or compiled in a website called C19study.com. You can look there at an overview, a summary of the studies, and you can get right to the file of the whole study that you can read for yourself. And it shows that in 100% of studies in which hydroxychloroquine has been used early, there is some beneficial effect. May not be statistically significant, but there is some beneficial effect. And even used late, it is beneficial. The horror stories about that it could kill you are just plain false. It probably protects the heart on the whole. Even if it does prolong the QT interval in a few people, it does not make you go blind. People with lupus and rheumatoid arthritis take it every day for years. They should go to an ophthalmologist and get checked about every 5 years. But even they have a very low rate of side effects.
Wow. I really don't understand why people have come out against something that's so effective. That's the naive way of putting it, but when you have so much money that's put into the research and the administration of vaccines, when they can get something like the hydroxychloroquine, they're not going to make as much money off of that. And I really do hate to sound so cynical about it, but this really comes down to money, because when you look at the hospitals that they would take a patient in, put them on a ventilator, I mean, there were the numbers going around. I don't know how accurate those numbers were, but they were saying, yeah, you would get paid this much, you would get paid that much. And it came down to how much money it seems like they could rake in you know, because as you were saying earlier, a guy gets in an auto wreck, comes in, dies from the auto wreck. They test him and said, oh, well, he had COVID, and they put down that he died of COVID. No, he died from a wreck in his truck. So, you know, it's just he happened to have that, but that's not exactly what killed him. So,
yes, that's true. And there is just so much corruption in the statistics. And the case numbers are based on a very inaccurate PCR test that was never meant to be a diagnostic test in the first place.
Mm.
Maybe so sensitive that not more than 90% of the people who test positive are just testing positive for some fragment of an old virus they had 5 years ago.
Wow.
And are not, they can, you cannot isolate viable infectious virus from them. So, yeah, and, but yet everybody is terrified. Everybody is afraid. People are becoming nasty and uncivil. They're acting like little Nazis in some cases. Assaulting people or complaining to the authorities if people are not wearing their mask or they get too close to them.
Well, how effective is a mask anyway?
Well, that's another question. Used in healthcare settings, used properly as directed and used around people who really are infected, it is not perfectly effective. It's somewhat effective. Used the way that it's being used in the community, it very likely is not effective at all, and it does have harms. It cuts down the oxygen that you're breathing in. It accumulates bacteria and fungi. It causes skin problems. People have dropped dead while they're exercising outside wearing a mask, where it can't conceivably be doing anybody any good. We have a aapsonline.org/mask-facts if you want a collection of all the literature that's been done about this. But for evidence-based medicine, the evidence is very, very poor, and yet we're imposing this on people for no good reason.
Because I know here in Connecticut, where I am, I mean, it's wintertime, and, you know, you have a flu season for a reason. It gets colder. Viruses can thrive in this environment. People are not outdoors as much as they should be. I know for myself and my wife, back in March of last year, we started getting on a regimen of NAC. We take that on a regular basis. Vitamin D3, a couple thousand milligrams of vitamin C, and we also take zinc. And I know that we feel pretty good. We haven't gotten sick at all. And, you know, that's the regimen that we're doing. Is that something that you would recommend?
Oh, that's a good regimen. I think people need to realize that most people in this country are vitamin D deficient. They do not get enough sunshine. The flu season is not coincidentally happens at the end of winter when people's vitamin D levels are very, very low. You know, these government mandates that people have to stay indoors are terribly counterproductive. Most nursing home patients, you know, who are the ones who are most likely to die of this, are going to be vitamin D deficient because they don't get supplements and they don't get to go outdoors. So that is very, very important. Your immune system depends on having adequate levels of vitamin D. You may need 5,000 units a day to keep your level in the optimal range.
What does vitamin D do for the human body to fight off this kind of stuff?
Well, besides being a vitamin, it is a hormone, and it is simply necessary for the normal functioning of the immune system.
That's excellent. And, you know, we're looking at an ongoing pandemic. I mean, what are we to do, you know, about talking to our public officials, talking to our doctor? Because, you know, what I've noticed in the change in our medical is that doctors are kind of like order takers. You know, you see an ad on TV. Oh, well, you know, we want to give you I see this drug. Oh, I think I need that. And then you go to your doctor and you say, hey, I saw this drug on TV, and the doctor writes a prescription for you. And it never used to work like that.
Well, it didn't. And today, doctors are increasingly employed instead of being in private practice, or they're on insurance panels, and they will be judged based on whether they comply with what the corporate executives think they should do. So they are very, very afraid of losing their job, Doctors have been fired for prescribing hydroxychloroquine, and doctors are have a much easier time if they just say, well, we're following what the CDC says. And when the CDC says do nothing, well, they do nothing, and their patients unnecessarily get very sick and may die.
Yeah, yeah. Because one thing that I've noticed is that when I go to a doctor, it's almost like an assembly line type of operation. They have like, oh, I'll see you for this 5-minute period, move on, and then get to the next person. And for me, a doctor, when I want to go and see my doctor, I want to be able to sit down. I want to be able to talk to the person. I want to really explain to them, you know, here's how I'm feeling. This is what's been going on. This is, you know, these are some of the things that I was feeling, you know, a couple of days ago. This is how I'm feeling now. The symptoms and all the things that I think that this person is going to need to know so that they can make an accurate diagnosis. But I don't see that really being the case anymore.
Well, I think that you're not the only person who has noticed that. You really need an independent physician, if you can find one. More and more doctors are going into direct primary care practice. It's sort of a subscription practice so that they can make a living and yet still be available to their patients and spend adequate time with them. So, but if you're at a doctor who's got 12 or 20 health plans that he's signed up with, he is their serf, their slave.
Yeah. Yeah, it's amazing. I mean, if you're a patient going in to see the doctor, what are some of the best questions that they can ask their doctor?
Well, I think that at the time of this pandemic, patients need to ask their doctor whether he is willing to prescribe hydroxychloroquine or ivermectin or other measures if the patient thinks he's coming down with COVID-19.
Mm-hmm.
Or what would the doctor recommend that the patient do if he's worried about this?
Exactly, exactly. Now, what about the vaccine? We've seen a whole bunch of stuff in the news about it. Tell us about the vaccine. How do you feel about the vaccine?
The vaccine is not the vaccine. There are a bunch of vaccines in the pipeline. The two that are available now are the Pfizer and the Moderna vaccines. Both of those are messenger RNA vaccines. Unlike the usual type of vaccine, which has some sort of protein in it that stimulates your body to make immunity, it has genetic material from a virus, the messenger RNA, that has the instructions for building proteins. And then this gets into your cells, and your own cells become the vaccine factory. They make this foreign viral protein, the spike protein, and then that gets out into the bloodstream, and your immune system is supposed to recognize that and make antibodies to it.
Interesting.
So it's a unique, never really been widely deployed. It's been researched for a while in different vaccines, but it hasn't really been deployed widely in humans. And the safety data is necessarily limited because it's only been around for a couple of months, and some of the adverse long-term consequences that may be autoimmunity, you know, making you immune to yourself, take a while to develop.
And one thing that I've read on the inserts on some of the vaccines is it'll tell you to stay away from people for a period of time because you could make them sick. I've found that kind of counterintuitive.
Well, that's live vaccines like measles, mumps, rubella, and some of the flu vaccines are live vaccines like the flu mist. This vaccine does not have any virus in it, so you cannot transmit the disease. However, you might still be infected with COVID-19, so just because you get your shot doesn't mean that you can't get sick from COVID-19, or even if you don't get sick yourself, you can't transmit it to somebody else. So if people are expecting the magic bullet, you know, get your shot and go back to normal, you're going to be disappointed because even the great Fauci has said, no, you still have to socially distance and wear a mask and so on.
which doesn't really make much sense to me. I would believe that the whole reason why you would be getting a vaccine is so that all these inconveniences that we're experiencing right now would go away.
It really is interesting that the companies themselves admit that their studies have not been designed to show that it will decrease transmission of the virus, which is supposed to be the main idea. Well, I guess it does keep you from getting really sick, we hope, but it's, the studies are not designed to check for transmissibility.
And well, go ahead.
I think the main concern, I think, for young people is this: what is the effect on pregnancy? Could it cause miscarriages? Yeah. Could it cause infertility? A lot of vaccine package inserts, and these don't even have a package insert yet because they're not approved, their emergency use authorization, will say the effect on carcinogenesis, mutagenesis, that is birth defects, and impairment of fertility has not been determined.
So, see, I figured, again, me being a little naive here, that you would have a vaccine. It's very, and I know about all the arguments the anti-vaxxers have and all, and et cetera, et cetera. I'm not going there, but I'm saying you would think that we would have a chance to thoroughly test something to see what it would do on a population. But I know that this vaccine came about very quickly in a very short amount of time. And as you alluded to earlier, there's really no way to test any of this. So I'm wondering, are we then, you know, using this vaccine on people and treating them as guinea pigs, as a research project? I mean, in my mind, that shouldn't be the case if we're trying to save people's lives instead of treating the public as their own personal guinea pig.
Well, some people are worried about that, and the fact is that we don't have enough experience to rule out rare and delayed adverse effects. And what can we say? That this is an emergency. People were promised that we could get out of this destructive lockdown if we only have a vaccine, forgetting that even the great Fauci said what we need is a treatment or a vaccine. And now he's just completely ruled out the prospect of early treatment approved by the federal government. I mean, it is still legal for doctors to prescribe long-approved drugs, they say, off-label for something that's not, they hadn't been used for before, like repurposed drugs.
Yes.
But it certainly is discouraged and even heavily restricted legally in the many states. So the vaccine is really the only choice that people have, and yet the people who would need it the most, like elderly people with comorbid conditions, are underrepresented in the trials, so we don't know whether they can even make a good immune response or whether they will have particularly bad side effects. So it's just a lot of unknowns out there, and you have to look at the risks and benefits and make a choice, and we strongly believe that people have the right to decide for themselves based on complete information.
I thank you very much for going to the break, folks. We'll be right back after the break. You're listening to Called Decision. This is Kevin Gallagher.
Satan's armies come to kill. This is war. Satan's army roams the land, seeking souls of fallen men.
5 years ago, I had such chronic back pain that at one point I bought 3 mattresses within an 18-month period, hoping to relieve my lower back pain. I was only 40, and I hiked daily along with eating a fairly healthy diet. I was not overweight and didn't really have a reason for my back pain. As soon as I started using 3 sprays of Synergy One each morning, the pain immediately went away, and I've never had it again. I also use Synergy One before bed for a better night's sleep. Whenever my mom has back pain, I remind her to use Synergy One. Sure enough, she's all better after using it. I've probably given over 10 bottles away to friends with back pain. I take it when I travel and never miss a day.
Raising growth hormone levels to a more youthful level consistently results in deeper sleep, better energy and mood, fat loss, and the elimination of pain through the repair of injuries. Synergy One is guaranteed to improve the health of your body or your money back. Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit synergisticuniverse.com.
Hello, folks. Pastor Butch here to tell you about our newest sponsor, a store food company that truly surpasses all the others for quality and flavor. Numana Strobel Foods, the only strobel food manufacturer that has all their foods grown in the USA. They are GMO-free, have no artificial sweeteners, no high fructose corn syrup, no MSGs, no chemical preservatives, and no soy. They are simply the best strobel foods available for all the right reasons. Go to numana.com or call 888-597-0775 and mention code Pastor Butch to get 10% off your merchandise. Again, numana.com or call 888-597-0775. Mention code Pastor Butch for a 10% discount.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
This is not a game we're playing, this is a war.
This is war.
Hear me what I'm saying. Pick up your sword and shield. Get on the battlefield. Satan's armies come to kill. This is war.
Hey, everybody. This is Kevin Gallagher sitting in for Pastor Butch Paul. And we just had a great interview with Dr. Jane Orient, and we had her for a half an hour tonight. I'm going to spend the last half hour of the show with you. We got a lot to talk about. There's a lot going on. And, you know, before we get that, I just wanted to remind you guys about something, and that is we carry the show that's heard here on GS Radio on the Truth Be Told Radio Network. And what's really cool is if you have a smart speaker, all you have to do is just use the wake word for the smart speaker right around 8 o'clock Eastern and say, hey, play Truth Be Told Radio Network, and you're getting the feed and you're listening to it right over your smart speaker. So that is one of the great ways that you can listen to Pastor Butch. If shortwave is really dirty that night, I've been listening to shortwave myself for years, and sometimes I can have a bad night. This is an alternative if you have one of those things. The interesting thing about that, and I wanted to cover a little bit about that, because we know about all the ills of these things. We know that they listen to you and all that. Now, as a broadcaster, I can reach a lot of people with them. And there's a lot of these things already out in the wild. And I can reach people with them. And any broadcaster, and here where I live in Connecticut, there's maybe a good dozen radio stations all around the greater area that I can all reach on a smart speaker, either through TuneIn Radio, through their own skill that they have written for Alexa or what have you. And that's where these things are headed. You know, maybe we as a population, we didn't do enough to protect our privacy. The trade-off for the convenience and everything that we have is the privacy. And that's unfortunate, but that's where we are as a society. The thing I want to point out to people, too, is we all use pretty much the vast majority of us use smartphones. Now, smartphone, smart speaker, you get the idea, same idea. If you're using an Android phone, Android was derived from Linux, and it was Google who put that together. Android is a Google product. So from version 5 of the Android software that's in your smartphone, if you have a Google phone, that has the Google Assistant built into it. Now, the Google Assistant is what is built into the smart speaker. So you have that in your hand. You're walking around with a smart speaker in your hand all the time. So a lot of times if you want to call a friend or something, it's very convenient on your smartphone to use that OK Google and then go ahead and tell your phone, hey, I want you to call this person or I need this information. It's because the Google Assistant is built right into the phone. That's why when I tell you, you have
approximately 1.5 billion, and that's billion with a B, billion devices on the planet that have the Google Assistant. Now, when you get to the A word, when you get to Alexa, which is, you know, of course, Amazon, here's what you're looking at. You're looking at about 600 million devices, and there was a study that was done. It came out in November, and this blew me away, and this was – it was mind-blowing, and I follow this stuff heavily. I like to see where the technology is going, where it's heading, where we're going as a society as a whole. Now, when you look at the fact that you take all the people in the United States, I know where this show is getting heard outside the United States as well, but when you look at just the USA and you take all the people that have broadband internet, that's something faster than dial-up, here's what it is. 5%, that's almost half of all people in the United States that have broadband internet have a smart speaker. That means they have the Amazon, the Google, or the Siri. So guess what? That's a lot of people that are using these things. And since we just had Christmas and the whole shopping season, a ton of these things get handed out like Pez candy as gifts all over the place. So that number now has to be even higher than 50%. That number is growing. And it is exponential. The market for these things is unbelievable. And I know there's a whole segment, a whole bunch of you listening are saying, you know what, I'd never want one of those in my house. I'm with you. Fantastic. I get it. The difference is that at least with the smart speaker, it's anchored down like a tree. It's plugged into the wall. Number one, you can unplug it. Number two, you walk away from it. It can't hear you anymore. Here's the problem. We have all the issues right now we see going on politically with the so-called social media or socialist media. And here's the problem. When you look at phones, I just picked on Google and you talk about the Android phone. Now, your other choice for a phone really, and everybody basically is using a smartphone or some kind of a cellular phone. I know years ago I got rid of my landline, and I know a lot of people who got rid of their landlines, so they don't have a hardwired phone anymore. They use something they can carry around in their hand. Again, the convenience, right? Now, let's look at Apple. Now, here's another one of the big social media companies. Isn't it crazy that a majority, vast majority of the cell phone use that we use in this country is either Google or Apple? You can't get away from it. You can't seem to get away from this stuff. Now, Apple, they have the Siri smart assistant. We all know you say Siri and it brings up all the information. Now, that's built into their iPhone. It's also built into their HomePod speakers. So there's about a billion of those on the planet. Now, I'm not talking about just the smart speaker. I'm talking about the smart speaker and then largely the Apple iPhone. So you can say Siri, it'll bring it up. And I've had people amazed because I can tell them, oh, you're using Android, oh, you're using a Siri in your iPhone. Just say, you know, blah, blah, play Truth Be Told Radio Network and it pops right up. Now, you can do this also with GS Radio. I don't know if Todd knows this, but since you can get GS Radio through TuneIn, you can get it through your smart speaker because of deals that have been made with places like TuneIn Radio. So this is where we're at. This is where everything is headed. We see what things like Facebook, we've seen Twitter, we see the things that are going on. Now, let me tell you this. When I was a kid, I can remember my relatives telling me, look, Kevin, you know, you always respect the office of a politician, of someone who's elected to that office, president, vice president, congressman, senator. You know what I mean. You get it. You respect the office at all times. Now, you may not respect the person that's in the office. You may not like them very much at all, but you always respect the office. By what Twitter did and Facebook, what these entities did with President Trump. Now, I don't care if you like President Trump. I don't care if you hate him. I could care less. It doesn't make any difference. You respect the office. And when they pulled his account, his official account is present, and then they barred him from using it. Regardless of whether you like Donald Trump, he is still the president of the United States until, on my watch, I look here, until the 20th. You respect the office. You respect the office at all times. And that is not being done. And what we see going on right now, it's disgusting. It's disgusting. And we are at a point in our history right now, and I talk with people, and I've known that times like this were coming for a long time. I've looked at this stuff for years. This ain't my first rodeo. And what I can tell you is we're in a time where anything, and I mean anything, you can put the word anything in big, giant, 10-foot-tall letters, anything, and I mean anything, can happen. And yeah, I'm being a little dramatic, but anything can happen. And you can think up the silliest thing you could possibly think up. Aliens landing on the White House lawn, massive worldwide earthquake, mass shootings. We've seen all this stuff before. We've seen the movie before. We know how it ends. We know what's going on. But anything, and we've seen what has happened, and we see where we are at. You got so many psyops going on. You got so many different things going on that none of us can be sure about exactly what's going on right now in our country. And I can't give you a very clear, accurate opinion because, unfortunately, what we're looking at, each one of us, we have like two puzzle pieces to a million-piece puzzle. And by connecting these two puzzle pieces together, this is the small piece of what we have. And we're supposed to have some idea of what is going on. And then we look at the lying liars in our media. And I don't care who it is, CNN, MSNBC, Fox. I don't care. Pick one out. And then look at all the socialist media that we have going on. None of them can be trusted. None of them. Don't take and me. You don't know who I am. You've never. You might have heard me here once or twice. Whatever, covering for Butch or somewhere else, or going to timeoutyoutube.com on YouTube to see the TV show. But you don't know me. You don't have daily contact with me. I'm just some guy you're hearing on your radio right now, and that's really the attitude that I hoped a lot of Americans would take, and a lot of you listening around the world, because we get too gullible. We get way too gullible, and we swallow things that we shouldn't be swallowing. And like I said earlier, if we had really been fighting harder for our privacy, because, you know, I can demonstrate. I got one of these things right in front of me, and I got one of each actually right in front of me. I mean, the convenience is very alluring, and I can say right now, I can say, computer, what's the weather right now in London, England?
Currently, in London, United Kingdom, it's 48 degrees Fahrenheit with showers. You can expect more of the same today, with a high of 48 degrees and a low of 32 degrees.
Okay, and I can basically ask this thing anything I want, and it will give me an answer. And it can be highly addicting. And you see people running around, and I call it dit-dit, people doing dit-dit on their phone all day long, and they're walking down the street like Mr. Magoo, and they're looking at their phone and doing dit-dit, and they don't see the traffic, they don't see the world going on around them. But, I mean, here I am sitting in Connecticut, and I can find out what the weather's doing right now in London, England. Now, at the same token, Truth Be Told Radio Network is a Christian radio network. I want you to think about this. And so we have Bible teachers and things like that on the network. And you can hear some really great teaching and stuff like what Butch does here, where you're getting a biblical view of world events and things that are going on. And it's sorely needed, because you don't get any idea of where you're at in the world in relation to Bible prophecy without putting the two together. And understanding that and getting that biblical viewpoint, because you're just not going to know.
Now, can you imagine, just stop for a moment and imagine what I demonstrated, okay? Imagine the Apostle Paul and what he could have done with one of these things. That's what I tell people all the time. Imagine the Apostle Paul if he didn't have to walk everywhere and he could then broadcast through a smart speaker. You see, the technology in itself, the smart this, smart that, is smart everything, it's not that the technology is evil, it's what evil people do with it. It's what evil people will do with these things. And we see what's going on. And we see what's going on in our country right now. And, I mean, earlier today, I mean, I got the screenshot. If you go to www.state.gov, Mike Pompeo, who's the Secretary of State, you go right up on the page. And then there was another page. And like I say, I got the screenshot. And you can email me, contact@truthbetoldnetwork.org, contact@truthbetoldnetwork.org. I'll send you the screenshot. Just ask. What is it? It's this page that came up. Donald J. Trump, President of the United States, says January 20th, 2017, dash, present, and then right down on the bottom. I'm going to read to it. I'm going to read you what it says word for word, okay? Donald J. Trump's term ended on 2021-1-11 at 1940 hours and 41 seconds. Now, you can't take anything going on right now and believe anything that you see. And this is a government site. And when I went back there a little while later, if you know what the 404 error is, we get the 404 on the page where it says 404 error can't connect to the server. So as far as I can tell, this was hacked. This was a hack job. Somebody went in there and hacked the website, the web pages for the Secretary of State for the United States of America. It doesn't get much higher than that. And this is what's going on. And this is why we can't be sure of anything right now. And for us to be running our mouths, it doesn't really do much good except maybe feed our egos, make us feel really good and really important about ourselves, but it's the last thing we need to be doing. It really is. We don't know. We got two pieces of a million-piece puzzle together, and we don't know. You want to know when you're going to know about all this stuff that's going on? Because, yeah, this is stressful. This is all very stressful stuff. And how are we going to know? When the emergency broadcast system turns on and Donald J. Trump, who is still right now, the last I checked, looking at my watch, it's not the 20th yet. Guess what? He gets on the air and he just lays everything out. He just tells you what's going on. That's the only time I'm going to believe anything. I'm not going to believe Fox News. I'm not going to believe MSNBC. Facebook, forget it. Hey, and when you get right down to it, Facebook is a parasite. They're a parasite. At least when you look at companies like Google and Amazon, as much as I loathe Google at least, yeah, you can say what you will about the smart technology, but where would you be right now without your smartphone? Where would you be right now without – you see, they offer all the goodies, all the services. They offer you a lot of great stuff. Now, they do track you with all that. I get that much. I get that. But at least they're offering you something. Facebook, on the other hand, they lived as a parasite over the posts that appeared on Facebook that you provided them. Can you imagine if you were a member of the Stasi in East Germany and you had Facebook? Can you imagine what you could have done to oppress the people of Eastern Germany? Just people posting pictures of their kids at a party, their addresses, where they're going, what they're going to be doing. Oh, I'm talking to this friend about this and that, and their whole lives. We've been trained not to have any privacy at all. Privacy is supposed to be now something that's supposed to be what? Inconvenient. Because you're supposed to put your whole life on Facebook. And then, hey, a lot of people, they're dumping Facebook right now. They're dumping Twitter. Matter of fact, I'm dumping my Twitter tomorrow. I'm looking into how I actually dump Twitter and going, bye-bye, see ya. Bye. Don't need you. Because what do you need Twitter for? Ask yourself, what do you need these companies for? What do you actually need Twitter for? What do you actually need Facebook for? What purpose do they actually serve in the betterment of our society? Can you live without Twitter? I know I can. Can you live without Facebook? Yeah, I can live without Facebook. Honestly, the only thing I've ever really used Facebook for is to post my TV shows and for anything doing with the radio network that that I run. And that's about all use that I have for it, because unfortunately, you go into different places and you look, and Facebook is like the number two most trafficked site in the world, and Google is number one, and YouTube is usually like number three. Oh, and by the way, a number of years ago, Google bought YouTube. So Google has the number one most visited site in the world, and YouTube is the number three most visited site in the world, and they're both a Google product. So you can't get away from it. So since you can't get away from it, you're going to have to come to some decisions about how much of this junk you actually want to have in your life. So that's really a question that only you can answer. And when we look at everything that's going on right now, it's time for us to keep really clear heads. And I'm not telling anybody to put their heads down, look the sidewalk. No, it's not. That's not what I'm talking about. Keep a clear head. Keep clear thinking, because we're going to be hearing so much crazy stuff. And in the art of war, those of you who are familiar with the art of war, Sun Tzu, guess what? You lie to your enemy. You look at what's going on, and when you look at what's happened to Donald Trump, and you want to look at how they cut off his Facebook, they cut off his Twitter feed, and he, I mean, not to really sound funny, but Donald Trump would do Twitter every 5 seconds about everything going on, because he had to avoid places we know, like CNN. He wasn't going to get a fair shake at CNN, so he had to use some other ways of getting out to you to tell you what was going on. So this is where we're at. You can't believe anything that's going on right now. And we're so used to putting on Fox News, putting on whatever we listen to, going to this website, that website. And really, none of that right now is going to be really useful, and it's really not relevant. And now we're in a point where nobody really knows. Nobody really knows. I mean, we're hearing – rumors, Donald Trump resigned. We're looking at hacked sites for the Secretary of State. We're looking at, is Donald Trump dead? Is he this? Is he that? And you can't get all wrapped up in that stuff. You can't do it. It's going to drive you nuts. You know what I did? You know what I did yesterday? Just to keep my sanity, I watched a couple of the football games. I said, you know what? I'm not dealing with this. I'm gonna watch football games. Now, they're fixed and everything else. I get that, because they make billions of dollars in Vegas. They make billions of dollars in Las Vegas and all the betting and all the graft and everything else. I get that. But if I just want to just not have to think about any of this stuff, put a movie on. If you got a favorite movie, me, I like John Wayne. I like The Quiet Man, a lot of other movies. Some of the older stuff is really good. Put a movie on. Just get away from it for a little while. Call and talk to your family. Have you like talked to your brother or sister in a while? Give them a call. Hey, how you doing? What's up? Talk to me. Because that's what we're going to need. That's what we're going to need, because that's what's important. Facebook is not important. Twitter? Yeah, it's not important. And what's important? Your wife's important. Your husband's important. Your kids, they're important. That's what's important. And I think collectively we've kind of lost our minds, and we've forgotten that. We've just kind of forgotten what's important. And we have crazy stuff going on. Crazy. I mean, we've seen what's been going on in this world. We've seen January 6th was one of the most bizarre days I've ever seen in my life. Bizarre. I mean, totally bizarre. And then to add to it, we have the nice lady, the doctor, telling us all about the stuff going on with COVID and everything else. Yeah. And yeah, I get it. I get it. But now is the time that you get on your knees and you pray to God like you never have before. You ask God for wisdom. You ask God to show you.
Yes, God, for visitation in your waking hours and in your dream time. Show him and have him, ask him to show you things to come. Ask him if you don't hear his voice. Ask him. He will tell you how to hear his voice. And if you're not, born again of God's Spirit, then please, what are you doing? Get born again. Get saved. That's the most important thing right now that you can ever do. And if you are saved, then what are you doing, man? You know that crazy brother-in-law you have? Talk to him. Reach out to him. Talk to these people and say, hey, do you know that Jesus Christ died on the cross for you 2,000 years ago? And that, you know, if you were the only person to ever believe that God would still offer the plan of salvation, send his son, let him go through all the torture and beating that he went through and die on the cross and be raised from the dead 3 days later just so he could have you because you're worth it to him? You're worth it? Twitter's not worth nothing. You are worth the death of the Son of God. That's what you're worth. You ever want to know what you're worth? You know, people make up their net worth. Well, I'm worth the, yeah. Hey, buddy, I was worth the death of the Son of God. And God thinks he got the better part of the bargain. And he thinks the same thing about you. And you know what? It's about time that people start figuring out that when you and God get together on anything, and I mean anything, you're a majority. You stand in the majority. You don't believe me? Ask Elijah. You don't believe me? You don't believe me? Ask Daniel when he's thrown in the lion's den. One guy against a whole bunch of hungry kitty cats. And you know what? They pulled him out alive. Because God and Daniel were the majority in that situation. And I can go on and on and on. Three nice little Jewish boys that get thrown into a fiery furnace that's so hot that it burns up the guys that are throwing them in. And they're walking around like it's a Sunday picnic. Yeah, them and God were the majority in that situation. Not Nebuchadnezzar, not the entire empire at that time. It was those three guys and God. They were the majority. So you and God make the majority. Start using it. Pray and talk to him. And he will talk back to you. And if you don't hear from him, ask him, how do I hear your voice? And you know what? You might be really surprised when you find out that he talks back. That's where we're at right now. That's where we're at. As best as I can see it, because I'm not going to sit here and tell you even what I think, because I don't know what to think. Hey, folks, I'll see you tomorrow night. This is Kevin Gallagher. You have a great night, and God bless you. And we'll be back tomorrow night. Bye-bye. On the battlefield, Satan's armies come to kill. This is war.
Satan's army roams the land, seeking souls of fallen men. Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE talkradio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading 1-800-375-4188 or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.